It's a treat to follow that.
I may come off looking third or fourth best somewhere down the line, but it is great, isn't it, to see these kids, what they learn. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for these precious children that You've given to these parents and us. We just thank You for them, and we ask You to grow them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and help us, help these parents. I pray, dear God, that You would touch every heart that hears the Word of God today. May Your Holy Spirit have His way. If there are those here that are lost, those here that are unrepentant in sin, those that are walking out of the way or getting ready to, I pray, God, You'd help them. And Lord, draw them to Yourself. I pray You'd give me a freedom and an ease to speak that only You can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. I hope God gives a blessing to you and hope you come back tonight. You're welcome in our services. If we can help you in any way, we'd certainly be glad to. This is one of those tremendous verses. It's a verse you can preach on almost every week. It's one of those verses that can just lend itself to so many different directions. And it's so clear. It's so clear as it deals with salvation. It deals with service. It deals with your life for God. It deals on how God relates with you. And it's just a very big verse. I remember it's one of the first verses I learned as a Christian. I saw this verse and it just struck me. And here this last week, it's been on my mind again. And I just want to take a little time. I'm not going to be able to take all of it in. But I'm going to take one area. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want you to think a minute about that. You can do all sorts of things that you want to do. You can give Him money. You can give Him time. You can give Him talents. You can work real hard for Him. It might not please Him. It says right here, if you don't do it by faith, if faith isn't the operative motive, if faith isn't what drives you, if faith isn't what sends you out, God's not going to be pleased with it. He's not just pleased with your efforts. Do you realize how many men God has made? How many of them have already died? There have probably been about the same amount died since Adam that are alive today. About 7 billion people. So 14 billion people. He sure had a lot of strong legs to choose from, hasn't he? He sure had a lot of smart intellects to play with, didn't he? He sure had a bunch of inventive fellows and hard-driving people and beautiful women and intelligent women and loving women. My God has seen it all. You don't have anything that would really be impressive to God but faith. And you know why? Because God chose it that way. It's not because I can reason with you that faith is so much better than works or faith is so much better than other things. It's that God said, this is the way I'm going to accomplish my work. This is what I'm going to do. So He says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, if you have any hope of pleasing God, what do you have to learn? You better start believing. If you have any hope of pleasing God, you got a life of 70-odd years, and some of you by strength may be more, and some of you may not have that long. But you've got a life, and you've got an opportunity, and God says there is a way to please Him. But it's not what most people think. We think that if we go to Sunday school so many times, or we go to church, or we give a little money, or we help a little lady across the street, or we help a neighbor somewhere down the road, or whatever, that all of a sudden God's indebted to us. Well, one thing for sure, God's never indebted to us. My, but we're indebted to God. It says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, Now, here's the thing you need to think about. There are a lot of people that aren't trying to come to God. There are a lot of people running from God. There are a lot of people that when you go out and try to talk to them about God, they don't want anything to do with you or with God or with the Bible or anything else. They're not running to God. They're not trying to come to God. They're trying to get away from God. In fact, the most intelligent in our generation of those that are going away, they have tried to remove God from their minds. You see, if there is a God like the Bible describes God a being, if there is a God like this, there's a judgment somewhere down the line. There's a day when this just God, when this righteous God is going to demand everything be made right. And He's going to take the wrong things and He's going to make them right, and the crooked things He's going to make them straight. He's going to take the twisted things and He's going to work them all out. And it's not a problem for God. My wife loves puzzles. I don't care a thing about puzzles. You give me these puzzles and I'm looking at it, oh man, why would I spend my time trying to make this one little thing that looks like everything else fit in here? I don't spend much time on that, you know. But I want you to know God can figure out any puzzle. There are no puzzles that are puzzles to Him. Just not a problem. He doesn't have a problem that way. He knows it all, the end from the beginning. Why don't you pay attention to Him every once in a while? Okay, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Amen. The number one thing we start off with, I must believe that He is. There's another point there, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Two things are stated for anybody that wants to come to God. You need to believe that He is. You need to believe He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe you win when you go with God? I do. Even if I lose for the next 10 years, I win. You can't lose with God. You may lose something here, but He's going to pay off double or triple somewhere down the line. You may lose something here that is absolutely irreplaceable. Oh, but I tell you, we ain't got to the end of the story yet. We haven't walked up to the judgment yet. We haven't seen the heaven and earth disappear in the big bang that's coming. I don't think there was a big bang before, but there's a big bang coming. My Bible tells you about it in the book of Revelation. It's going to be a big bang and you're going to be hanging out on nothing. You're not even going to be standing on the earth. You're not going to be able to stand on your feet. You're going to be out before a great white throne and boom, everything is gone. There's no heaven, there's no earth, there's nothing. Just you and a judge. He said, must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to do the right thing. It pays to get close to God. Now I know all of you have done it. Whether it's at your job or at your school or in some little clique somewhere, you've tried to get close to somebody. You want their favor. You want them to help you. You want them to do something for you. You want them to introduce you to somebody. Everybody's done it. You know, it's sort of sickening sometimes, but everybody's done it. You know what God says? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's worth your time to get close to God. Now that's something really worthwhile. So many times when we look, or I, as an old pastor, remember all the questions that have been asked me by grown people and young people alike all through the years. And most of the time it's not, how can I get closer to God? It's, can I do this and still not get killed by God? Can I step across this line and He won't swat me? It seems our bent is to sinning. Our desire is to go against the will of God. And we want to know how far we can indulge that desire without losing. How about seeing how close you could get to God? How close you could get to God? Because see, He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He really can bless you. He really can bless your individual life. He really can bless your marriage. He really can bless your business. He really can bless your mind. I know some of you, you got all sorts of problems you're facing with today. You need to get close to God. Because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now I'm going to sort of peel off here for a minute. I want to talk about God is. And I may spend so much time on that I don't have time to get back to this, but I'll preach it two or three more times later on. We'll pick up the other parts. God is. I think, just personally, me, I think the biggest thing I see in the world is God is. I look out at the world, I don't see evolution. I don't see great scientists and great works of man. I don't see that. You know what I see? I see God. I see God. And it says one of the things you need to believe, and one of the problems that some of the people in the world have is they don't believe in God. So they're looking for other explanations, and many of these people are very intelligent people, and so they give reasonable, to, in their mind, reasonable explanations of how things could be without God. You must believe that He is. And the biggest thing that stands out in my mind about the being of God is His creation. It's just right out in front of you. I've always used illustration. I wear a watch, a little watch hanging on my belt boat. It's worth about $10. It's not worth stealing. But it does keep good time. But every time I look at that watch, I don't think in my mind, one day there was an explosion in a chemical factory. And all the dust and stuff got blown together, and look what popped out. Here is a watch. It's pretty. It's symmetrical. It's got numbers on it. It keeps time and keeps accurate time. That tells me there's a maker. A watch maker. And when I look at somebody that has two arms and two legs and two eyes and a nose and a mouth, and they can walk around and they can talk and they can have fun and they can work and they can praise God, I said, there's a man maker. It's absolute stupidity in unbelief to do ill otherwise. Now, I want to show you some verses. It'll be like a Bible study. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I want to talk about the Creator God and what He created. When He created it and how He did it. You must believe God is. You want to please God? Number one thing, the first thing you got to get out of the way is God is. How about this Creator God? Look at the first verse of the first chapter in your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. That's the very thing you build with. That's your base foundation of your faith. That is the base foundation of all truth. That's the basis of the Bible. If you can believe these first four words in this Bible, there's not a miracle in it that will give you a problem. There's not a story in it that can give you a problem. In the beginning, God. Do you know what God is? Just the term God. What does it mean? It means this super intelligent, super powerful being, so big we cannot comprehend Him. The best we can understand Him is looking at Jesus Christ. Because Jesus took on a body and walked among human beings, had His sayings written down. And we can take a look at Jesus and we can understand God better because we see Jesus. But this God is so big. There's no way our minds can comprehend Him. There isn't anybody on the face of the earth, pick your 7 or 8 billion people, that's smart enough to handle that. In the beginning, God, it says, created the heaven and the earth. Now some of you may think that, okay, all this universe has been out there for eternity, And God came down and put this little ball right here and this little heaven that we see, and He created that right there. Well, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Interesting verse. Talking about the same thing, He says, thus the heavens. Not just our little heaven. Not just our little view that we've got. The heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. God not only created the heaven and the earth, He created the heavens also and the earth. God is a creator God. How can you walk out and look at this world and not see God's creation? Someone said to me, I heard a very famous preacher one time talking about, oh, God loves beauty. Look at how many beautiful people God made. Have you ever walked in a mall? No, God loves variety. God isn't interested in beauty. There are not many beautiful people. Do you realize those people you see on television and the magazines all the time? They're not the average. When you look in the mirror, you think you see one of them? Boy, you're an optimist. I know, I just went to a 50th anniversary for some friends. My wife and I celebrated our 53rd, but these were high school friends, and in fact, the lady I went to school from the third grade on. And we double dated with this couple, and they just celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. There was a bunch of old people there. There was a bunch of fat people there. Bald people there. There were people with rat rolling off of them all over the place. There were people with wrinkles hanging down all over. There were people with spotted colors. There were people hardly able to walk, just barely going like this. And they're my friends. I went to school with them. I don't know what happened to them. The heavens, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. Now look, if you will, at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm talking about just one aspect of God, the Creator God. I don't see how you can miss it. When I was lost and on the road to hell, I couldn't miss that. When they taught me evolution in school, when they taught me some of this stupid stuff, I couldn't believe that. It never did make sense to me. You say it's because you're too stupid. Well, that may be. But it never did make sense to me. It made it a whole lot easier for me to believe in God. Been all sorts of missing links that are still missing. You notice they don't have any missing links? Have you figured out all these different areas of life, they got to switch? How do they switch from an amoeba and a protozoa to a scorpion? Or to a scorpion to a squirrel? Or from a squirrel, how about a monkey? How about from a monkey to a man? How about a monkey to you? You got a monkey's uncle? God is a creator. And He expressed Himself in His creation. It is definitely a variety, and it is fascinating. When these intelligent people study these things, and they put a show on television or on the movies, and they show the different aspects of different areas of life, it blows my mind. And I look at that, and I don't say, what a great evolution. I say, I got a bigger God than I ever knew. The more I understand about my body and understand this old heart's still ticking. I'm still walking, I'm still seeing, I'm still preaching. And I said, praise God, He did a good job. I've already got my guarantee out. My 70's finished, everything's gravy from here on in. Whatever I get, woo, it's spice on the top of the tamale or whatever. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Do you have a problem with the word all? What is it about all you do not understand? All things were made by Him. And then let's just make it clear, without Him was not anything made that was made. God is. God is. Just look around you. Look at everything that's made. Look at the animals. Look at the stars. Our greatest astronomers with the greatest telescopes ever been conceived, sitting out in space where no atmosphere hinders them, they can't find the end. They can't find the beginning. They speculate on it. They can't find it. Okay, I get my seven power binoculars, and look up there, I see all these stars. I get my 10 power binoculars, and I see a few more, and my 20 power, and then my 240th, and my 1,000th. All I get is more stars. It's a bigger universe than I ever thought. It's a bigger universe than they ever thought. It's too big for man, and it didn't happen as an accident. He's a creator God. Everything that was made by Him. And without Him, was not anything made that was made. That's what that book says you right there. Look at another verse on the creator God. Exodus chapter 19. We're talking about the law. You want the giving of the law? Exodus chapter 20. God gave the law to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. Been passed down to you, and you break it every day. Some of you are law keepers. You think, oh boy, I keep the law. I'm a real good Christian. I keep the law. You lie. And you just broke that commandment when you just said you kept the law. You don't even keep the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why, you put sex before God. You put your car before God. You put your job before God. You put your kids before God. And you do it without even thinking about it. Oh, we break the law. Why was the law given? For you to keep it? No, for show you can't keep it. Show you need a Savior beyond it. Show you there's got to be help somewhere, because it cannot be through keeping of the law that you can save yourself. Cannot be. But look at verse 11. You ever get in a problem with some of these evolutions talking about all the millions and the billions of the years, and give or take a few billion this happened, give or take a few billion that happened? You can have your billions of years. Give them all the billions of years you want. You're not going to get what God did. And how did He do it? It says, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day." In 6 days. It didn't take Him billions of years. And by the way, and I read about those days over in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and morning were the third day. In 6 days. It didn't take Him billions of years. I saw an ad, I guess it was from National Geographic or something like that. It had the picture of an eye. And oh, it was beautiful. Fascinating. And they make the statement under it, the audacious, unbelieving statement underneath it. It took 450 million years of evolution for the eye to evolve. Well, what did they see during those 250 billion years? How big of an idiot do you think I am? For an eye to do any good, it has to be created right now. You can't just add a step or two every few million years when you're not seeing anything. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Let me give you another verse. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 10 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 10 of the book of Hebrews. A very interesting verse, I think. "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands." You could go to my shop sometime and see some of my handwork. I've done some handwork. You see my hands? Now, they're actually a pretty big hand. Probably I don't have very long fingers, just like I don't have very long legs. Somebody else is walking around with these hands fingers. Just as maybe Brother Jack Patterson's walking around with my legs. See, I'm all body. I just got these little dark stumps I've been running on all these years. He said the heavens are the work of His hands. That's His handiwork. You ever seen the heavens? It's fascinating. Have you ever taken the time to look at some of these color photographs they're bringing back, they brought back to the Hubble? They're wild. They are wild. I love astronomy. It doesn't cause me to doubt God. It makes me believe in Him that much more. He's so big, He stretched it out with the span of His hand, the Bible says. And multiplied millions of light years. That's the time it takes light at the speed of light to travel every second for a year, and millions of them, and they can't reach the end. And He made it with the span of His hand. He worked it with His fingers. Just like a kid takes putty and clay, and as they did probably this week, some of those kids got there and they had all sorts of colors going all over here and here and all over here like this. And they're having so much fun. Let's see what this swirl would look like. What this swirl would look like. Has it ever occurred to you that some of those planets turn the wrong direction? Anybody ever tell you that? How did one big explosion make them turn different directions? Looks like they all ought to be turning the same direction. No, God said, I'll mess you up a little bit. He just flipped that one around the other way. He said, now the astronomer's going to have fun with that one. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He's messing with your mind. You decide to be an unbeliever, He'll mess with you. Believe me, He will. Says right here, where was I? Hebrews 1:10. My page turned on me. I knew something happened. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish. You know what the future's holding? You see, God made this little toy for man. God made all of this out there for man. He didn't make it for the dinosaurs. He didn't make it for the ape man. He didn't make it for the devils. He made it for you. This little ball you're running around on, a minor planet in the solar system, He made it for you. He made it for man. He made it with His great social experiment. He made it with His great creation. He made it for you. They're the works of His hands. They shall perish, but God remains. The altar will wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture, Thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. God's going to go home one day and He said, it's over. I'm going to take off my dirty clothes and He's going to fold them up and put them away and that's it. That's right. But He remains. Amen. He's the Creator God. God is. I'll show you another verse. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now hunt this up. It's on page 660 in mine. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is a real verse. Boy, I love this. I just ran across this right in the middle. I don't know how many times I've read it. But I just like the way this verse speaks. Nehemiah 9, 6. You got it? Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all the rest. All the host, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that are therein, and Thou hast preserved them all, and the host of heaven worship Thee. Wow. Oh, you think maybe God just made this little earth playing around out of this mother? No. He made the heaven and the heaven of heavens. All that you can see, all that you can't see, all that you can imagine, all is there. He made it. He made it. He made the heaven and the heaven of heavens. Look in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. David is looking at God. And it says in verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens," plural, "the work of thy fingers," the work of thy fingers, the heavens, the work of thy fingers, "the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Ever make you feel small? Oh, it does me. When I see what God has done, I feel small. I don't feel big. It's sort of like with Jack Patterson. I stand in the door. I feel like a little kid. Now, most people think I'm a big guy. I'm way too fat, way too heavy, and too mean and something. Too much. I stand by Jack Patterson. I'm just a little kid. Good night. You're 7 foot tall and 400 pounds and standing over there. It's like when I was a kid in junior high school playing for a coach that was 6 foot nine, weighed 300 pounds. Had a size 15 triple E shoe. I felt small. Well, I tell you what, when I get in the presence of God, I feel small. I don't feel big. I don't feel powerful. I don't feel wise. I don't feel great. I feel small. We've got a God that made all of this. Glory to God. "I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers." I wonder, what are you doing messing with man? When you look at the vastness out there, what a thought. Now there's another verse right here. Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, you can believe that nothing ran into nothing and something exploded. And it was so big, it did all of this. Hundreds of billions of years ago. Or you can believe that God, by the breath of His mouth, by the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke it all into existence. And did it in 6 days. Without a problem. Well, there's a verse I want to go back to. It's over in Psalm 19. Let me tell you something, friend. God's speaking to you. Every day God is speaking to you. Every night God is speaking to you. God is speaking in the language of every human being on the face of the earth. It says right here, chapter 19, verse 1, the Psalms. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." God is still preaching. He's preaching every night. I got a Father's Day present of a powerful set of binoculars that fits on a tripod. And they're big. And my, oh my, can you see the moon close? Seeing the moon close doesn't make it seem smaller to me. I like seeing it, but it gets bigger to me. You ever looked up in the heavens and seen the Little Dipper? There's a crook in the handle of the Little Dipper. Right there on the end, when you go to the first joint, there's a little crook, and then it makes a turn and goes, you know that place right there? I was pastoring in West Texas. One of the men that I pastored was a dairy farmer named Hoover. 2 o'clock in the morning, he was milking cows, and he was building them late at night. And I'd wake him up in church, punch Brother Hoover, wake him up. He'd come here to hear it. He'd come here to sleep. And he told me to. I was a young preacher, 25 years old. And Brother Hoover says, "Would you come by my house one night?" I said, "Sure." And after church, we and my little boys and my wife went out to his dairy farm. And he set up his 9-inch ground telescope.
about this long, about 9 inches around. And he set it on those two stars of the Little Dipper. They're two stars. They look like one to you. When you look at them, you don't see but one star. But when you put that telescope on them, they just separate out like that. It's so much bigger than you ever thought. It's so much grander than you ever imagined. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. God is crying out, I am. Believe it. I am. Believe me. Amen. Let me tell you something. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. I'm talking about God is. You must believe that God is. For the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. Does what I've read to you so far fit in with this verse right here? The invisible things of creation of Him are clearly seen. My, they are. And Paul's testified to it right here. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That is simple common sense and very simple faith. You must believe that He is. By the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. When you look at the creation, you see there is a super brain somewhere. Accident? Accident? You couldn't perform that accident by planning it for your millions of years. If you can't see from what God has created that there is a God and He's super powerful and He is super smart, you're really a fool. In fact, the Bible says so. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, you may sound very intelligent in your little circle. And you may talk, oh yeah, when I go up before God, I'm going to tell Him what me and the boys said when we were drinking beer the other night. Yeah, you will. You'll fall flat on your face so scared. You won't know what to do. You'd fall off flat on your face if Jack Patterson got after you. And he ain't nowhere near God. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly, clearly seen. Can you see? Can you see Him? Being understood. How? What are you talking about? You take a look at this and you say, there is a Godhead. A huge, awesome, great being. And He made these things. Even His eternal power and Godhead. And that makes you without excuse. Go back to my verse. I'm not going to be able to finish anymore, but I want to finish up right here. You must believe that God is. When I got saved, I believed God was. I'd been told, I didn't know a lot. I was a serviceman out in Roswell, New Mexico. But I'd heard all my life that God was a loving God and He would hear repentant sinners. And when I came to the place that I became repentant, I went to God. That was the right move. That was the right move. I was 20. Just a couple of months from being 21, I had one boy already and one in the hangar ready to come. Ready to hit the flight deck. And God heard my prayer in that trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico. I got down in a little old no-count place in the middle of the desert, and the eternal God that created all of this stuff right out here, He heard me. He didn't miss my cry. He didn't miss my call. And right there in that front room of that trailer house, God changed my life. He heard me. He forgave me. He changed me. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. You must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I diligently sought Him that night. I didn't even know this verse. Don't know that I've ever heard it. Probably had, but I don't know that I had. But let me tell you something. See how great God is that He can stretch that out with the span of His hand? That He can think all these different variety of things up, something just to keep you working all of your life and never figuring it all out. And yet He's so intimate, so close, that when a little child gets down and cries, His angels behold and hear. That when one of you falls on your face and says, "I'm a rotten sinner, God, have mercy upon me," He can hear you. He won't miss you in this room. In all of San Antonio, if all of San Antonio was praying at the same time and you wanted to get right with God, it wouldn't interfere. There are no stop lines. There's no lack of communication. He doesn't need a telephone line. He doesn't need a cell phone. He doesn't need a church building. He doesn't need a preacher. Just you. Just you wanting to come to God. Amen. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, He says. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. Take Him as your Savior today. If you're a Christian, you're in need of forgiveness, God has moved upon your heart for repentance, this is the time. This altar's open for you. You're the only reason why we do business. You're a great expense, but we think it's really worth the time. Let's stand and sing number 249. This altar's open. Whatever your need, God hears and answers prayer today. Will you come? Do you hear Him calling you? Would you do what you're supposed to do? His blood was shed for you. Believe Him and trust Him. He'll hear your prayer. You're here without Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul. If you're here and you need to repent of your sin, get on your knees and do it. Sing it out. How about you? We're still waiting on you. We're still waiting on you. We're not in any hurry. God is. And He's listening right now for you. Will you call upon Him? Will you call upon Him? Will you call upon Him? Come on. Just as you are right now. There's a great, big, powerful God. He's waiting on you. He can do what you cannot do. He's done it many times before. He will not tax Him today. come to it. Heavenly Father, we come to you. You've been merciful to us. We're so thankful. Take your word. Touch people's heart. Run your fingers through our lives. Do a new creation in us. Oh God, we know how great you are. Oh God, be merciful. I pray you to hear the prayers prayed in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.